announcements before we begin. You will notice on the source sheet that you have, it says Le'ilui Nishmat Avraham Abba Ben Yosef Silver. Zichrono Levracha. Chof Hein Tishrei, a few days ago, was the yahrzeit of Avram Silver, and the name of this school, if you ever look up on the side of the building here, you'll see a big sign that says it's the Avram Silver Jerusalem College for Adults. And it was Nifter, it's more than 10 years ago, 11 years ago, he was a young man, 42 years old, and he was of great, great help to me. It was he and his wife who dedicated my shul in Har Nof in memory of his father, Reb Yossel Silver, and that's why it's called Kehilat Zichron Yosef. And his almana endowed the adult education program, all the programs here at the Israel Center, and therefore it's called the Avram Silver College. And this is the annual shiur. Usually it's the first shiur of the year, is the annual shiur in memory of Avram Silver at the time of the yahrzeit. Second, our good long-time friend, Elaine Pomerantz, has asked me to do a thing for her annual event. She's sitting over there. This is the seventh annual event to benefit Neve Avraham Child Development Treatment Center, a fun quiz with Rose Meyer, aided by Queenie Ponis. Queenie Ponis. Is that here today? She must be preparing for the fun quiz. And Lionel Solomon, Monday evening, Yom Baked or the Vav Marchesen, that's this coming Monday night. Tonight is going to be Rosh Chodesh already. Today is Rosh Chodesh, Wednesday and Thursday. Doors open at 7 p.m. at Ol Nechama, Rechov Chopin 3, mini auction, work of renowned artist Baruch Nachshon, raffle, drawing, all sorts of things. Please see Elaine, and she'll, for information, Elaine Pomerantz, that's what it says right here down at the bottom. Certainly a worthwhile cause. Huh? Today is Rav Shimon HaTzadik's Yahrzeit. Yes, I heard something like that on the radio. All right. And listen, wait, we're coming to Rachel Imenu's Yahrzeit. Yud Aleph Cheshvan, that's big stuff in this company. We're making already announcements of that sort. We should be mispowered for Shleimah, for Mordechai Tzemach. Then Mazal Tov, Mordechai Eliyahu was gravely ill. One of our giants, and we should pray for Refuah Shleima for him. We're losing people left and right. Anyway, Parashat Noach. I think it's 20 years now, 25 years, maybe 30 years, 40 years. Every time I come to Parashat Noach, every time, without fail, you come to Parashat Noach and you want to paint a picture, a portrait of Noach. A portrait of Noach is we'll see why there are reasons that it's difficult to paint a portrait of him. There are people, as we will see, Rashi says, Yesh made Avotenu, there are those amongst our rabbis who consider him as praiseworthy, and there are those who deprecate Noach. Noach is forever in that eternal balance. Like, it's just there's something missing. And then of course we will see he is compared to Avraham Avinu, and in being compared to Avraham Avinu he is found wanting. Rashi is going to say that Avraham Avinu was able to walk before God on his own, but Noach needed somebody to assist him. And then, of course, one of the things we'll deal with, Avraham Avinu prayed for the people of Sodom. We don't hear a word out of Noach. That's going to be a very essential point over here. And I remember I have charot already. I regret that shir where I sort of got on the anti-Noach bandwagon, and I found yet another chait of Noach.
Oh, you also gave a shir on Yom Kippur.
Huh?
You also gave a shir on all the good points.
I gave a shir what?
On all the good points.
Well, this shir will end up. I'm going to elaborate on some good points that I've said in the past and other new ones. But at that year, remember that year, I came down very hard on Noach because Noach was silent. You don't hear Noach. Do you know what the first words you hear out of Noach's mouth? The first words that are uttered by Noach are, Oror Kenan, let Kenan be cursed. Eved avodim yiyeh le'echov. He shall be a slave to his brothers. And Baruch Elokei Shem, blessed is the God of Shem. Now, this takes place after the flood is over, and he comes out of the ark, and he plants a vineyard, and he makes grapes. And he makes wine, and from the wine he drinks the wine, and he gets drunk, and he is naked and uncovered in his tent, and Chum does not act properly toward his father, but Shem and Yefet also do act well. Yes?
Why didn't Shem say something? Shem, he should have said something.
Let's leave all questions to the end. First, you'll have to see what I have up my sleeve. And then, if there are questions left, two possibilities exist. One possibility is that after I've finished saying what I have to say, you won't have any questions. The other possibility is you will have forgotten the question. But whichever one, Noah doesn't say a word. God tells him, I'm going to destroy the whole world. Noah is silent. I'm going to bring a flood that will erase everything from the face of this earth. Noah is silent. Where are we here? Gemaraum, God in Himmel. What? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're going to destroy all these human beings. Let's do something. Let's stop some yeshivas. Let's do something. Not a word. Whole parsha. And the first time he does open up his mouth, so the first words that come out of his mouth are, cursed is Canaan. He shall be a slave to his brothers. At least if the first words would have been, blessed is Shem. Blessed is Shem. No. So I remember I got very upset with Noach that year. And I couldn't. How? Not a word. And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, Oru Kenan, cursed is Kenan. But I say, I'm doing tshuva on that. I don't think it's right that we should throw all sorts of things upon Noach, when in the final analysis, remember, he was chosen by God to survive. He was also chosen by God to be the one who's going to rebuild the world. That means Noach was okay. More than that, even when the attempts are made to compare or contrast him with Avraham Avinu, you know, we don't compare and contrast just anybody in the street with Avraham Avinu. In other words, we're talking about somebody who is there. He's in the league of Avraham Avinu. But he's just, well, there's something Avraham has over him. And by the way, what Avraham had over Noach, Avraham had over all of mankind since the beginning of time until today. Avraham Avinu, as the Rambam describes him, was the great genius who was able, after many, many decades of profound thought, a tortured soul who finally discovers that there is a liberation. That was a great discovery. That was a great discovery. I've often quoted Paul Johnson's History of the Jews, who says, He doesn't know what would have happened with this world if Abraham would not have come out of Ur of the Chaldees and shared his great discovery with the rest of the world. Would we or would we not have arrived at a conclusion that there is a God, there's a Borei Olam, there's a creator who's omnipotent, omniscient? So if Noah doesn't add up to Avraham Avinu, but he's just a little bit lower than Avraham Avinu, that's big. That's very big. He can't get much bigger. So let's see. We're going to find what I believe is Noah's great strength, and we will elaborate on it quite a bit more than we've done in previous years. But first, let's begin. Elah told us Noah. Noah ish tzavi. Tomim hayomidorotav. These are the offspring of Noah. Noah was a righteous man. Tomim hayomidorotav. Noah, he was a perfect one in his generations. Helokim et halech Noah. Noah walked with God. That's quite an introduction. That's quite an introduction to Noah. Torah is telling us who he was. Torah is telling us. By the way, we may have forgotten that the pasuk before this, which was the last pasuk in Parshat Bereishit, says, "V'Noach motzo chein be'enei Hashem." Noah found favor, grace in the eyes of God. To have find favor, that's beautiful. And by the way, we also have to remember that when the Torah lists the 10 generations from Adam till Noah, Adam, Shays, Enosh, Canaan, Mahalalel, Yared. No, I don't want to show. I don't want to show. Well, you know, be show off. Because I'm going to get stuck by the next one or the one after that. So the text is the same until we come to Lenach. Number 10. Metushelach had a son, Lemach. And then it says Lemach lived so many years, and he gave birth to a son. And here it says, Vayikra, he called his name Noach, and he said, Zeh yinachameinu mimase yodeinu. This one is going to make things easy for us. We were not told about any of the other of the generations from Adam to Noach, what their name was, and that they were called by that name, and the reason for it. There's something unusual and exceptional about Noah from the moment of his birth on. And here we are told that Noah is ish tzadik, tamim hayomidorotav. Rashi says, Eilat Togas Noah, number 2. We may go through these 3 Rashis, because there's a very delicate balance that Rashi strikes in these 3 statements. Eilat Togas Noah, Noah ish tzadik. Hoel v'hiskiro, since the Torah mentioned him, and what's bothering Rashi is when you say, Eilat Togas Noah, these are the generations, the offspring of Noah. What we should have said immediately is the next pasuk. The second pasuk is that he gave birth to Shem, Chom, and Yafes. In other words, the Torah should have said, Eilat Togas Noah, these are the generations of Noah who gave birth to Shem, Chom, and Yafes. But there's an interruption. There's an interruption. And what is the interruption? To tell us who he was. So Rashi says, Ho, he'll be his kiddo, because he mentioned him. Sipir b'shvacho, we are told this praise. Shinanas, it says, Zeich tzadik l'vracha, the mention of a righteous person is for a blessing. So therefore, the moment Torah mentions the name Noah, the Torah has to say, Ish tzadik, a righteous man. Stavarach, another version, L'lamedcha, to teach you that the real offspring of a tzaddik are his good deeds. There are 2 things that were the offspring of the tzaddik. Ela told us Noach. Noah had children and he had good deeds. And the good deeds, L'lamedcha, to teach you, She'ikah told us, the main offspring shall tzaddikim, Amas and Tovim, are their good deeds. Their good deeds are also that which they have given birth to. Second Rashi. This is where all the debate begins. Eilat Togas Noach, Noach ish tzadik, Tomim Hayah. Why couldn't they just stop right there? These are the offspring of Noach. Noach, Ish Tzadik, he was a righteous man. He was perfect. This word Bidorotav in his generations seems to indicate, well, what does it indicate? Does it mean that in his generation he was a great Tzadik? Go put him in a different generation. There are many Noachs floating around. What does it mean in his generation, a generation of such moral depravity and decay, a world falling into the oblivion of sin? And there's a shining beacon called Noach. Why would Noach have lived in a generation of pious, great people? What heights he would have risen to. This is, now Rashi, sometimes Rashi says things that are so subtle, and you have to be able to get to what Rashi is talking about. And over here, his subtlety comes to the fore. Rashi is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is on Achloket, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says, Bidorotav, in his generations, he donesh lignan. He learns that this is a deprecating statement about Noach. In his generation, all right, in a generation of such evil, so you know, he was also a tzaddik. And Rish Lakish says, oh no, Rish Lakish says, Bidorotav, in his generation, in a generation of that sort, he was a tzaddik. Can you imagine? We can't even imagine what he would be in a different generation. So Rashi has done a number of things with that Gemara. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, which opinion is mentioned first? The opinion that deprecates Noah, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion. The second opinion, the one that praises him and says, in his generation, in that terrible generation, he was a tzaddik. Wow, what he would have been in other generations. That's the second opinion of the Gemara. That's Rish Lakish. Rashi reverses the order. Is that a subtle way of Rashi telling us that he seems to be inclined to the opinion that we have to see Noah as a giant? And then there's another fascinating thing. I'll read the Rashi now, and let's notice it. Bitarotav, in his generations, Yesh Meirabotenu, there are those among our rabbis, Dor Shimato L'Shevach, who expound this word as praise, in praise of Noah as follows. Kolshkein, in his generation, he was a tzaddik. Kolshkein, ilu hoyu b'dor tzaddikim, even all the more so, if he had been in a generation of righteous people, hoyu tzaddik yoteh, he would have been even more righteous. All right, as we said, that's the second opinion in the Gemara. Rashi has made it the first opinion. Now, Rashi begins the next one. And here already the Jews have said, Yesh Darshimato, and there are those who expound it lignai as a deprecation. And they note the fact that when Rashi quoted the first opinion, he said, Yesh Meirabotenu. There are those amongst our rabbis who read this as a praise. Now, to keep the Rashi balanced, he should have said, when he quotes the second opinion, V'yesh Meirabotenu, and there are those of our rabbis who deprecate not. Rashi leaves out the Rabotenu. A subtle way of telling us that he is inclined to the first opinion, the one that he has made the first. And of course, listen, it's simple. If we can judge him kindly, why judge him unkindly? Obviously, the only reason why one would judge him unkindly is because the fact is, it says Bidorotav in his generation. That seems to be a limiting in his generation. That's what it seems. By the way, later on, when Hashem speaks to him and he tells him to go into the ark, Otcha ra'iti, you I saw lefonai tzadik bador hazeh. You I saw as a righteous one in this generation. I don't know why they don't bring that pasuk. That pasuk seems to be even possibly even more, not in Noah's favor. God says, you are seen as a tzaddik in this generation. Even that can be read both ways. No, I'm not going to. Today is be nice to Noah. Today is Noah. I'm all in favor of Noah. So Rashi says, Ilu l'fidoro, he was a tzaddik. Ilu hoyo v'doro shel Avram, lo yanasha l'klum, would he have been in the generation of Avram, he would not have been considered anything of significance. I find that, here I also have difficulty with that. What do you think the world in the generation of Avram was? A generation of Eskwis and Tzadikim in the generation of Avram? All that it means is that, you know, in comparison to Avram, in comparison to Avram, it's a harsh term. Lo yanasha l'klum. He wouldn't have been counted for anything. Next Rashi, number 4. Et olakim et halach Noach. Noach walked with God. Ubavram hu omer. By Avram it says, God tells him, hitalech l'fanai, walk before me. Noach hayotzorich sa'ad letomcha. Noach needed support to bear him up. Avram hayam itchazek, but Avram would strengthen himself. Umahalel bitzitko me'elov, and walk in his righteousness on his own. There was a strength in Avram that Noach didn't have. And I don't believe that Rashi means this in any way to denigrate Noach. As I said earlier, to say about somebody, I would love somebody to say about me that, you know, wasn't that wrong? That's pretty good, you know. That's pretty good. He wasn't that wrong. He wasn't that wrong. Nobody was that wrong. I said, nobody was that wrong. If you take a look at these three Rashis, the first Rashi is all in favor of Noah. The first Rashi says, Zeichet Tzadik Levracha. The first Rashi tells us that the main offspring of the righteous are their good deeds. The last Rashi, third Rashi, is the one that could be in some way interpreted as deprecating Noah, that he was not Avram. And which Rashi comes in the middle? The Rashi that comes in the middle is the two opinions. The first opinion of Rashi, that we should look at him in praise, which follows so smoothly from the very first Rashi, and the second opinion leads into the third Rashi. Ilu hoya would he have been b'dorah shel Avram, lo ya inech shav l'klum. And why would he not have been considered anything? So the third Rashi tells us, because listen, there was a strength that Avram had that Noach just didn't have. So I would say that Rashi has maintained a balance over here between the two opinions, except for the fact that he mentions the opinion of praise first, and that with regard to the first opinion he says, Yesh me rabotenu, our rabbis, and when he says the second opinion, he simply says, the yesh, and there are those who look at Noach in a bit of a negative way. Now we're going to take a look at Noach. Number 5, God tells him to build the ark. Vayas Noach kichol asher tzivro Hashem. Noach did everything that God commanded him. By the way, this pasuk in one form or another appears another once or twice, and Rashi always points out that the first time it appears, it's after God told him to build the teva. Vayas Noach, Noach did what he was commanded. He is very obedient. I think this is extremely important. We have to lay the groundwork over here for what we're going to say. Noach is obedient. God tells him to make an ark. Vayas Noach, he did everything that God commanded. God tells him to go into the ark. Vayas Noach, kechol asher tzivo Hashem. Noach did all that God commanded him. Vayas Noach. Rashi, another three Rashis. Vayas Noach zed biatola teva. He came into the ark, God told him to go. God told him, build. Build. God tells him, go into the ark. Go into the ark. Okay. Very obedient Noah. Now the pasuk goes on to say, V'Noah ben Sheish Me'el Choni, the 600 years old, V'Hamabu, and the flood, V'Yomayim Al-Ores, water on the face of this earth, V'Yavo, Noah, U'Vonov, V'Ishto, U'Sheibonov Ito, El Ateva, Mipnei Me'amabu. Very important pasuk. And Noah came with his sons, and his wife, and the wives of his sons with him into the ark. If you notice very clearly, there is a separation between male and female. The pasuk is very careful to say, Noah came with his sons, and his wife came with the daughters-in-law, the wives of his sons. Incidentally, that's exactly what he was commanded to do, and we'll see the command in number 9. Well, you know what? Let's go to number 9 right now. Vakimoti et ziti itah. I will establish, this is, he's telling him, build the teva, go into the teva. Vakimoti et ziti itah, I will establish my covenant with you, ubato ateva, and you should come to the ark. Ata, uvanecha, you and your sons. Ve'ishtecha, your wife, and your daughters-in-law, itah. This is where he was commanded. If this passage really should be on this source sheet, before number 9 should be before number 5. Don't get confused. Here he's commanded. Rashi says, number 10, Ata uvonecho v'yishtecho, you, your sons, and your wife, ha'anoshim levat v'ha'anoshim levat, the men separately and the women separately. Mikan, from here we learn, shenesu v'tashmish hamita, that they were forbidden to have marital relations in the teva. Now go back to number 5. When Noah comes into the teva, he follows God's instructions precisely. Noah and his sons, his wife, and the daughters-in-law. Now Rashi number 7, Noah Uponov. What the Torah is now telling us, exactly as he was commanded. Exactly as he was commanded, they prepare to enter the teva, Noah and his sons, and his wife, and the daughters-in-law. Ha'anoshim levat, ba'anoshim levat. It will be important. You will see how important this is. Men separately, women separately, because they were forbidden to have relations. And here Rashi says, why were they forbidden to have relations? For the world was in a state of distress. Now, of course, you know, we can start asking all sorts of questions. Why didn't Rashi say it in the other Rashi where it says men separately, women separately? Rashi waits for this is the second Rashi. Maybe Rashi waits for the second because this is when it's in fact happening. And they're going in separately. Nipnei Mehamabul, the end of the pasuk is that they went in, Noah and his sons, his wife and his daughter-in-laws, from because of the waters of the flood. Rashi. Af Noach miktane amonahoyo. Noah too was one of those with little faith. Mamin ve'eno mamin shi'avar mabul. He believed yet did not believe fully that the flood would come. V'lo nichnas la'teva ad she'dechakuhu amayim. He didn't go into the ark until the waters compelled him. Right. Does that seem like some kind of a negative swipe at Noah?
No.
Negative swipe at Noah. No, that was a rhetorical question. If I'd open up that question to this whole place, we'd never get out of here. One can read this Rashi in a completely different way. And Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, great Rashi Shiva of Mir, Zefet Tzadik Levracha, does read it in a different way. I have a number of my own thoughts on this Rashi. First of all, he says that he was miktane amana, of little faith, little faith. Mamin ve'eno mamin, shi'avar ha'abu. He believed and he didn't believe fully that the that the flood was going to come. And he only went into the water until the waters compelled him to go there. He goes in. Let me read it slightly differently, or at least explain it differently. Number one, Noah is not going to go into the ark until the water has come to his neck. You know why he's not going to go? The banishment of God in Himmel, I don't believe you're going to destroy your world. You're going to take a whole world, men, women, children, cattle, sheep, you destroyed all you created and you made it. Is there something wrong with having doubts about whether God is going to destroy his world? Okay, what got into you? Think about it again. No, he doesn't believe that the world is going to be destroyed. And you know what else he may be doing? And this becomes important for me. What Noah is demonstrating over here is, you told me to go into the ark. I tell you, the Bishlam, I'm not going into that ark until I left with absolutely no choice. I'm defying you. You told me to go, I'm not going. You have to push me into the ark. Is it possible that Noah, by standing outside of the ark as the waters begin to rise, is defying the Rebbeinu Shlomo? Is he saying, no, you can't do it? And you know what? If you want to take the rest of the world, I don't want to live in that kind of world after it's all over. I don't want to live in a world that's going to be a graveyard for millions of people. I don't want to be there. Take me now. This is not a... Am I letting my imagination run away with me? Or is it possible that the kind of things that Avraham did verbally, Noah does without saying a word? Yes, Avraham Avinu stands up before God and he pleads on behalf of Sdom. Incidentally, you know, most people forget, he failed. He didn't succeed. He didn't succeed in saving Sdom. He couldn't find a minion in Sdom. There wasn't a minion. By the way, there are those who say that Noah didn't pray because he knew there was no minion in the world. There was him and his wife and his sons and his daughters-in-law. That was it. Doesn't add up to 10. So he doesn't pray. There is no minion. The only thing that Noah can do is, in a sense, saying a Ribbono Shel Olam over my dead body. I don't want to go in. I don't want to go in. Later on, there's a passage that says, Vayizgor Hashem Bado, God closed the door of the ark after him. To make sure you're in. What I see in this Rashi is the beginning of what I believe is the great trait of Noah. Not everybody has to express himself verbally. Not everybody has to be able to open up a mouth and speak to God, before God. Moshe Rabbeinu was great. He was the greatest. Lama Hashem Yechra Abchobi Amecho, after the sin of the golden calf. God, what are you getting upset about? Remember the covenant that you made with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And what do you want? You want the Mitzrayim to say, take a look at what happened to those slaves that God took out of Egypt. They're all dead in the desert. Or even Moshe Rabbeinu know how to speak on behalf of his people. Noach is silent Noach. But there's power. And there's great strength in Noah's silence. Noah knows how to send very strong messages to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam without opening his mouth. It comes to the fore in most probably Noah's greatest act on behalf of the world. Turn over. easy way to remember this year. This morning before I ran them over at 7 o'clock in the morning, and I always leave it till the last minute, because you know who knows what else is going to get into my head. I have to leave for... You've seen the signs in the street? Which signs am I talking about?
Voting.
Yes, we're voting. In a week and a half, 2 weeks, we're voting for a mayor of this city. Parrish is already mayor. Mayor Parrish. Okay? That wasn't an endorsement, but I can't endorse anybody else. Gaidamek. Is that the way they pronounce his name? Gaidamek? So I didn't write it correctly. I think it says, Enomedaber. He doesn't speak, but he does. Do you know what Noach is? Enomedaber. He doesn't speak. Ve'enomoseh. He doesn't do. God wants him to go into the Teva? No. You're going to have to push me into the Teva. And now I'm going to show you the brilliance of Noach. Noach's brilliance is, doesn't speak, he doesn't have to speak, but he doesn't do God's bidding. The same Noach that we pointed out, Rashi has said, he's so obedient, the Rebbeinu says, do, vayas not. The Rebbeinu again says, do, vayas not. And he did. On this page, 24 psukim. It's awesome. I'm going to describe these 24 psukim. Let's go. We're going on an awesome journey. Vayedaber Elohim el Noach lemor. By the way, do you know how obedient he is? You'll see how obedient he is. He knows already that the marvel is over. He knows that the earth has dried. He sent the raven, and then the raven is gone, nevermore, and then he sends the dove. He knows. You know what? He does not go out of the ark. What are you waiting there for? God sent me in. He's obedient. He's going to wait for instructions. He will not set foot until he is told to leave. Now, another. What kind of a pasuk is this? Is this a blessing from God? Is this a request of God? What word would you use to describe this pasuk? You know what this pasuk is? A mitzvah. What pasuk is repeated more than any other in all of Torah? Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe lemor. All right? Obviously, Noach is not on the madrega of Moshe, so it doesn't say Hashem, it says Elohim. Lemor means this is God's divine imperative, mitzvah. Mitzvah number one, sing in our table. Sing in our table. Go out of the table. Ator, watch how they're supposed to go out of the Teva. You, v'ishtecha, and your wife, uvanecha, they're not going out of the Teva separate, men and women separate. You go out with your wife, uponecha, and your sons, uneshevanecha, and the wives of your sons with you. And kol hachaya, ashidetcha, and every living being that is with you of all flesh, of birds, of animals, and all moving things that move on the earth, order them out. Haitseita, bring them out with you, v'shortzu v'aretz, and they shall swarm through the earth, ufaru v'rovu v'aretz, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. God has now commanded Noah to do three things. One, go out of the ark. Two, men, husbands and wives together. Well, four things. Send out all of the living creatures and begin the process of Truravu. The next pasuk blows my mind. The next pasuk blows my mind. I haven't seen any proportion to talk about it. And the truth is, I don't want to look. I don't want to find. Vayetze Noach Ubanov. Noach went out with his sons. Wait a minute. He's supposed to go out with his wife. Noach went out with his sons. for Ishto, and his wife went out with her daughters-in-law. Wait. Obedient Noach. Obedient Noach. What happened over here? You are specifically, expressly commanded to go out with your wife and your sons with their respective wives. Do you know what's happening over there? This is Noah's greatest act of defiance. He doesn't do what God wants of him. Why doesn't he do what God wants of him? You know why he doesn't do it? The Ben Shalom, you get it in your head sometime later in history to destroy the world again, and you want me to rebuild a world that you may ultimately destroy again? Not me! You know what Noach knows? Noach knows when, so to speak, kivyachol, he has the upper hand. God needs him! God needs Noach and his sons and their wives to rebuild the world. And what happens if Noach refuses? What will happen with the divine plan for a rebuilt world? Noach knows. I want to say it respectfully. He has God over a barrel. He's not going to do it. You know what he wants? He wants, you know, God, convince me that we should rebuild your world for you. Convince me. And you know what's going to begin now? You have to imagine the scene. The way I imagine the scene is, God is going to talk, he's going to talk, and he's going to talk. And you know what Noah's going to be doing there? The first poker face in history. Not a smile, not a twinge, nothing. And God sees, wait, he better up the ante. That was not enough for Noah. God needs Noah. Noah knows that God needs him. You know what he's going to do? He will defy God until he has squeezed out of him every guarantee for the world until the end of eternity. And watch what he gets. If he would have come out of the tailor, listened to the Raven, said, I'd come out with my wife and my kids with their wives, we would start building the world again, then I think we would have been able to condemn Noah. Noah, you have right now the whole world in your hands. It's all up to you. You know what else Noah may be doing? If there was a bit of doubt in his mind, maybe he could have done more for the world. Maybe he could have done something yet that would have saved the world. He's going to make sure now, this is Tshuva Shleima, he's going to make sure that this world is going to continue on until the end of time. Now watch. Imagine, and I mean it with great respect, the dimension is sweating. He needs Noach. Wait. Kolachaya. Next passage. Yes, God told him that all of the animals should go out. Yes. Kolachaya, kolarenis, kolov, kolarenis, limish bechotehem. He let they go out according to their families, so to speak, male and female. Okay, they can go ahead and procreate. Noah built an altar, and he took from all the behemoth Torah, we call it the Torah, and he brought them as an olah on the altar. Vayorach Hashem et reach hanichoach, and God smelled that sacrifice that was brought to him. Vayomer Hashem el libo. God said in his heart, this is not something that he has communicated to Noah. In his heart, he says, "Lo osif lekalel odem adom abavur adam." I'm not going to curse the world because of man. Ki yetzalim adam raminirav. Man has evil in him from his youth. Lo osif od lahakotet kol chay kasher ositi. And I'm not going to destroy all living creatures as I did. Old Koyumei Ha'aretz, until the end of time, there will be Zera and Kotzer and Kor and Chom and Kayetz and Chorav, Yom Volaylo, Lo Yishbozu. All the days of the earth, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer, winter, day and night, shall not cease. All right? Noah doesn't know about this. All right, so now that Rabbeinu Shalom knows that he has a problem, now begins his communication with Noah. He begins very softly. No more commands. He's not getting angry with him. Noah, why are you defying me? And Noah, God blessed Noah and his sons, and he said to them, through Revu, Umilu et Haaretz. In other words, he knows that they had no intention of doing that. So he's commanding them again, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now he's going to give a whole series of promises. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast on the face of the earth, our kolof hashemayim, the animal kingdom will be afraid of you. B'chol asher tirmos adoma, u'b'chol digei hayam b'yedcha nitanu, I've given all of animal kind is in your hands. Kol demes asher uchay yelechem la'ochla, you may eat. This is the first time that man is permitted to eat living beings. Kiyerek esev natati lechem et kol. Adam and all those generations were only able to eat yerek esev, the grass, vegetarians. Ar boso v'dot nafsha doma lotom chelu, can't eat flesh that has blood in it. Boso v'nafsha doma lotom chelu, that means cutting off a limb from a living being. V'achet bimcham l'nafsha techem edrash mikol chaya edrashenu. Oy, if an animal tries to kill you, I will avenge. Umiyat Adam, miyat ish achil, if man kills fellow men, edroshet nefesh Adam, I will seek the life of that man. Shofet Adam Adam, v'adam domo yishavet kibitzel, v'lekim asat Adam. He tells them that I will make sure that somebody who has committed an act of murder and has not been brought to justice, I will take care of that justice. He also prohibits suicide over here. Man taking his own life. V'atem? Repeated the second time. Peru, by the way, it's not a second time. The third time. Vatan you, here's the command. Peru Ravu, Shirtsu Ba'aretz, Peru Urufu, Shirtsu Ba'aretz Uruvuba. Fill the land. This sounds good, doesn't it? What's Noah doing right now? Nothing. Noah says nothing. Noah does nothing. There's a pause. God reflects. After Vayedaber Elokim and Vayevoreh Elokim and Vayomer, now he goes Vayomer Elokim on Noah. You know the difference between Vayedaber and Vayomer? Vayedaber is a divine imperative. Vayomer already is soft. It's conversation-like, okay? The Rebbeinu has come down from the bombastic Vayedaber Elokim el Noach Lemar. Vayomer Elokim el Noach. And by the way, you know what God knows now? This is not a rebellion of one man. The whole world is rebelling against God. The whole world. All of mankind. And therefore, while at the beginning it said, Vayedaber Elokim el Noach, the Rosh Hashanah understands he has to communicate not only with Noach, he has to communicate with his sons also. So now it's softer. Vayomer Elokim el Noach, ve'el bonov ito leimor. Va'anihi hinini meikim et briti itchem, I'm going to make a covenant with you, ve'et zarachem achrechem and with your children after you. Oh boy, is the anti-goika. Oh, is the direction, I'm making a covenant. This is a covenant between me and you, and not only me and you, your children after you. That kol nefesh achaya shidichem, all of the living beings, ba'ofa, behemoch, mikol yotzei atevu l'chol chaya zaretz. This is a covenant that I'm making with everybody. V'akimosi et briti itchem, I promise you I'm going to keep my covenant. V'lo yikareis kol basar ol mimei hamavu. Boy, is this a problem. There never will be a mavu to destroy all flesh. V'lo yir ol mavu l'shachis aretz, even the land. There will not be a mavu that will destroy the land. Response? Noah? His sons? No response. And I assume that they represent the three wives. They represent three wives. There's nobody here. There's nobody here that is ready to agree to God's command that's now become request. And it's even more than a request. God is already at the point of pleading. Pru revu, revu ba, mil ha'aretz, shirtzu, move out. Now, when it says again, Vayomer Elokim, remember, every time it says Vayomer Elokim, it means there had been a pause, and the Rebbeinu was expecting to hear some kind of a response, and there's no response. There's no response. So you know what? He ups the ante. Vayomer Elokim. Elokim says, not enough that I've made a covenant with you, and I have promised to keep that covenant. I'm going to make an Od Brit. I'm going to make a sign for that covenant. Zot Od HaBrit Asher Ani Noten Bein Yiu Bein Echem Ubein Kol Nefesh Chayash Yidetchem LeDorot Olam. Wow, do you see what has been added into this passage? You and all animal kind and all of those who are with you, and this is going to be LeDorot Olam for all generations. He's being very clear and very specific. And I now have an oath. The oath is, if kashti natati baman, I put my rainbow in the cloud for haital oath brit, and this will be the sign of a covenant. Beiniu bein, or that's between me and the land. V'hoyon will come to pass ba'anini anan, when the clouds, when the storm clouds gather far across the sea, yeah? When the storm clouds gather, what will happen? You will see the rainbow in the cloud. The Zacharti, I will remember. Now, the worship says, you know, he's putting a knot in his tie. You ever put a knot in your tie? Those of you who have, I have a note brit. See this? If I should look at a thing on my watch, a physiotherapist who wanted me to remember to do a certain exercise.
Oh.
I stuck that on. I look at it 10 times a day, and I don't think I've done the exercise. I'm defying him. The Rebbeinu says, "Es kashti natati ba'anan," and I will remember. I'll remember. You afraid I'm going to forget? No. I'm going to see that. V'hoyovanu adriti asher beinu beinechem. And every time he talks about a promise, it's between me, you, and all living beings. Nobody is left out. Being kol nefesh, chayav bechol asher, kol basar, all flesh. V'lo yia od hamayim l'mabul, water will never be a marble of flood, l'shachim kol basar. V'hayta keshet ba'anam, the keshet, the bow, the rainbow is going to be there in the cloud. Uri itiha, liz kovrit olam, to remember this eternal covenant, bein elokim, ubein kol nefesh kayon nachamol, and the fourth time already, the fifth time, between all living flesh, asher al haaretz. Well, what more does Noah do? Have they blinked? No, they haven't blinked at all yet. No. Abijah, you get points. You've done very well. The promises are okay. There's still one thing missing. And is it for the fourth time already? Vayomer Elokim el Noach. God said to Noach, Zot od habrit. He shows him what the rainbow looks like. This is the sign of the covenant, Asher Hakimoti, that I have established. Beini ubein kol basar asher al haaretz, between me and between all living flesh on the face of this earth. Do you understand Noah hasn't said a word. And he has elicited from the Rebbein Shlomo promises. I've long never got such promises out of God. There was nobody who ever lived that was able to elicit this without saying a word. You know what it was? This same Noah who is capable of absolute obedience. Tell me to build a table, I guess Noah. Not there. It wasn't simple. 120 years? And to be a whole world most probably was laughing at him. Vayas Noach. Noach did it. He fulfilled that Vayas Noach. He made the Teva day after day after day, 120 years. That was a tremendous, tremendous act of obedience. God tells him to go into the Teva, okay? He's on his way, but he stopped short of going into the Teva. This is his first act of defiance. Angel, I don't believe it. You're not really going to destroy the whole world, are you? You didn't really mean it. I wanted to scare us. But you're really clear that I'm doing it. And therefore, he only goes into the Teva because there was no possibility. The waters forced him in and God closed the door behind him. But when it's all over, Noah knows that he holds the future of the whole world in his hand. And he's going to use it to the utmost, to the hilt. Nobody ever did anything like Noah. Or nobody never did no doing like Noah. He out Gaidamax Gaidamax. Noah, they know Medaber, they know Oseh. He doesn't speak, he doesn't do. Do you know what he gets? Look at the promises that he gets. It's such a fascinating page in Chumash. Every moment the Rebbe was waiting, well, is Noah going to relent? Is Noah finally going to say, okay, take it easy, I'll build your world for you? No. He extracts every last promise. This is the greatness. Noah is a giant. Unbelievable giant. I have come out officially now in favor of Yesh Meir Avotenu, our rabbis who look at Noah favorably. Even though the next pasuk, and it wasn't by choice that I don't have the next pasuk, it just happens to be Yad Shkol Chumash, you know. It's perfect the way they printed it. All that I needed was on this one page. The next pasuk is of course going to say, Vayochel Noah Ish Hadoma, tells us the story of Noah, man of the earth, who plants a vine. I'll tell you, if I need a drink, I couldn't wait that long. And he plants, by the way, and it's, this is premeditated by Noah. Noah wants to get drunk. The first thing he plants the vine. And he's going to wait patiently. He's going to wait patiently until it grows. And he's going to wait patiently until he gets a chreisa, Cabernet Sauvignon, an emerald Riesling, good enough to get drunk. And I see greatness in that also, because Noah, of course, knows that as he steps out onto the world, he's walking on the graves of mankind. The whole world is a cemetery. It's Europe in 1945, the graveyard of the Jewish people. That's not enough. That's not enough to send somebody to drink. Unbearable for Noah. And you know what it means, unbearable for Noah? Is it possible that he feels in some way guilty? Is there something I could have done to save them that I didn't do? I don't think anybody was ever as justified in getting drunk as Noah was. And I see his drunkenness also, Dorshin Lishvach. That's also the greatness of Noah. That's it. Thank you. This is the river. No, that's the record.